Welcome to Shri and Kira Live, the voice of passionate action, bringing fresh perspectives and timeless wisdom for today's shifting paradigm. Now, it is your moment to open your mind, relax into your body and spirit as we explore the greater meaning of your now experience. Bringing wisdom, laughter, and clarity, here are Shri and Kira.
Namaste, beloved one, and welcome to the voice of passionate action. I am Kira Ra.
And I am Shri Ram Ka, and we are delighted to be with you.
We are coming to you. I want you to just sit back, relax, and feel this, my angels. The sun is setting over the beautiful river Ganges, and we are coming to you live, gazing out at the beautiful Mother Ganga sitting here in Haridwar. And what's so amazing is that we are here in literally an eye of a storm.
Well, hey, it's an amazing thing, you know, and we're going to talk a little bit about that 4x4 energy here. There are thousands upon thousands upon thousands.
There's a million. They said it's up to a million today. This is the peak day.
And people that have gathered at this sacred site on the holy river Ganges and Mother Ganga, and we have had an amazing time navigating through the roads and the people to find this oasis where we're staying here right on the banks of the river.
You know, I need to say that if you ever make it to Haridwar, just gift yourself and stay where we're staying. We are at Alia on the Ganges, A-A-L-I-E on the Ganges. And all I can say is that there is a miracle energy here. We are out in the middle of nowhere. You drive through the rice paddies to literally get here, and it was just such an amazing thing. And as Shri mentioned, they're claiming an extra million pilgrims that have arrived here today. Streets are closed, bridges are closed. There's everyone dressed in orange, collecting water from the Ganga to bring back to their villages in the middle of this incredible month and celebratory energy of Shravan, the month of Shiva. And here we are. We just got back from Kedarnath. We have so much to share about our time being very remote in the Himalayas. This is a show that we pray in this moment you are experiencing the power, the energy, the love, the presence, and the gifts of your divine mastery. A big show with so much to share.
And beloved ones, as we sit here mentioning that we're now sitting at on the river, the sacred river of India, our show actually begins. The story we want to share with you is back in the mountains. We are here reflecting upon an amazing journey that we had to Kedarnath.
Now, you know, we talked about this. If you saw the e-card or you read about today's show, it's about the mystery of Kedarnath and the remote Himalayas. And I go back to many, 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 many years ago, a little too many years ago, I think, to admit, when I first read Autobiography of a Yogi by Yogananda, Paramahansa Yogananda, and how he talked about how his journey began wandering and getting up into the remote Himalayas.
Now, the remote Himalayas have lots of legend and lore, and the one thing I can tell you is it's true.
Yes, every rock is alive, every tree is alive. We have been blessed to be with so many wandering sadhus that I think it's enough for four lifetimes or five, maybe six, I don't know, but so many amazing experiences. It's actually hard for us to begin, and so we're just going to invite you right now to come on the journey with us. We truly, with all of our heart, want to share this energy with you. And it begins when we left where we came to you from last time, which was also the Mother Ganga. It's interesting that we began in Rishikesh at Mother Ganga last week. We talked to you a little bit about how we arrived there after being in Dharamsala. We have then spent the time traveling and wandering, truly the mystics wandering through the Himalayas all the way up to Kedarnath, winding up back down now here at the Ganga at Haridwar. And so very, very powerful framing of that feminine energy, the Ganga, the flow, just really interfacing the intersection of being up in the Himalayas. And so the journey began when we last left you and climbed into these small little cars, because the roads that we were on, there were times when I held my breath, guys. There wasn't even room for the one car.
You know, the mountainside roads in that area of northern India are very narrow, and there is so much water coming down from the hills. You know, in summertime, in monsoon season,
There's a lot of rain. The ice caps are melt every season, and there are hundreds, maybe thousands of waterfalls streaming down the mountains, and the roads wind in and out and up and down and around the crevasses and over some rather perilous, what do you call it, where the road's hanging out over, seemingly suspended in air, and there's mudslides and rocks and water, and we just keep sending blessings to the driver.
Over and over, and blessings out to the universe that we knew we were to survive this journey, and there were some moments, guys, there were some harrowing moments where we were not sure we would survive this journey, and we're going to talk about that. And as Sri mentioned, the flow is so powerful, but as you wind your way up into the Himalayas, these are hairpin turns every other turn. These roads are very, very narrow and steep, and there are so many... I don't even know. Sometimes I'm speechless around this. The foliage, the animals, the little, all of a sudden in the middle of nowhere, a beautiful, breathtaking little mountain village that teleports you. Are you in Tibet or are you in India? Are you in Bhutan? Where are you? Are you even on this planet? The striking energetic shifts, the color, the cacophony of sound. And of course, there are beautiful cows everywhere. Everywhere you turn a corner and there's a cow in the middle of the road. Or a family of cows, and there is this sense of oneness. There is a sense of, with every moment, you are ascending. And we felt you, my angels. We felt you so much. We felt all of you with us on this journey of ascension. And we finally made it up to base camp. And we got in pretty late to base camp because there had been some landslides and rocks in the road and things that had to be traversed. It was truly a pilgrimage just to get to base camp.
Absolutely. Now, this is not like climbing Mount Everest altitude. This is the Himalayas altitude, which means that base camp was in the mid 5,000 foot range. However, to get there through the rugged terrain, through the hills and valleys, was really quite a long journey. One of the surprises for me were the number of rice fields in this area. And apparently the summer season supports that, and the hillsides are terraced, and there's so much water coming down the hills that they're able to flood the fields and grow the rice, and it's an incredible blessing. And yet, this was only step one. Base camp was in a pretty remote area. Not a lot of folks living there.
No, and it was these wonderful tents that were very well, you know, I was giggling and calling it glamping, even though it was far from that. But it was, you know, really hard beds, but we had a bed, and I was grateful for that. And what was most revelatory was when we got out of the cars at the base camp, it was very, very small and very, very rustic. Electricity was just something that happened occasionally every hour and things of that nature. We got out of the car and turned around, and it happened to be, and we are going to, when we get back, we will do our best to put together a small video of all of the things we're sharing with you. We were staring at Mount Kailash. There, we were literally at this cradle of the Himalayas, gazing across a valley at Mount Kailash, and it was quite a profound energetic calling. It was basically saying, you are coming, because remember that the Shiva Linga, which is the focus of adoration at Kedarnath Temple, is, I believe I'm correct in saying, the single most unique Shiva Linga on the planet. It is not a Shiva Linga that is the traditional linga-looking type linga that, you know, is like a pillar. This one is an exact natural rock that looks just like Mount Kailash, and it is believed that it is Lord Shiva, that Lord Shiva took the form of that linga. And here we were at base camp already having that divine and unexpected communion because, as Sri mentioned, it's monsoon season here. And the whole reason we came during this month was because it's one of the few months that you can get to Kedarnath. And Kedarnath was one of the reasons, main reasons of this master's walk through the Himalayas. So this was an omen. We felt it was an omen. We had been warned that we may not be able to get up to Kedarnath, that the weather had been very bad, that we may not have our helicopters flying, that we might not get there. So there was lots of warning and lots of, you know, don't get your hopes up energy.
And so here we are. We made it up to Guptashi, the base camp village. And from there, an hour's drive to a heliport where we go up to over 12,000 feet. So that climb, if done on foot, was really beyond our capacity as a group.
And a lot of pilgrims do that. There is a 14-kilometer trail that begins at the base, and you can walk up, and a lot of people do walk up, and then they tend to camp along the way. And we knew that we could not do that, that we did not have either the time or the physical capacity to walk 14 kilometers, so we opted for these helicopters. Now, what's important to know is that Guptakshi, which is the summer home of the deity of Kedarnath, is also carrying extraordinary energy.
Now, the energy at this mountain is really quite spectacular. There is a focus at every Jyotirlinga. So the Jyotirlingas, there are 12 principal ones in the country of India. And each one of these has a Shiva Linga. Each one of these is revered. Each one of these is a pilgrimage site. And as a result, there is great respect and focus around the community, in the community around these temples, and they carry a magnificent energy. There is something profound about a Shiva temple, especially these 12 Jyotirlingas.
And Sri and I have been very, very blessed to be to many of these Jyotirlingas, and to go to Kedarnath is truly a crowning experience. And so after all of the warnings and, you know, we'll just see what happens, we came together and really started asking for a benediction, a miracle blessing, for the energy of a miracle to come forward. And when we went to bed that night at our base camp, we all held that presence. And to do this ascent, and it is an ascent in every way, you're required to get up very, very early in the morning. We were up at 5:30. We left base camp by 6 a.m. We arrived at the helipad by 7, and it was cloudy. And when we got there, we were informed that it was actually the first day they were flying in 5 days. So there were people that had been waiting there 5 days to make their ascent. And we had been very, very blessed that, you know, we had these tickets arranged 6 months ago for us to get up there. Yet they were, you know, it just like being at the airplane at an airport after there's been some closures. So these poor people, there were only 2 helicopters flying. You can only fit so many people in a helicopter. They were trying to, you know, fit in those of us that had reservations, those that had been waiting for 5 days. And lo and behold, we also had not been aware of the fact that it was Monday the 17th, which was also an extremely auspicious day regarding Lord Shiva in this holy month of Shravan. So it was just a compounded energy of miracle, miracle, miracle. So we were we wound up waiting for our chopper for about an hour and a half before we actually were able to start making our ascent up to Kedarnath.
And so that ascent was a really glorious, wonderful ride in a helicopter, and they were taking 5 people at a time up the caverns and the ridge lines, and looking at the dotted summer homes of some of the herders that would graze their animals up there in the summer. In the winter, everything's covered with snow. Nobody's up there. So this was a glorious time to be up there with all of the ice that was melting, the rivulets of water, and we come up to the platform up at Kedarnath and exit, and we take a look at the temple, which was another 1,000 meters or so away from the helipad, and we needed to walk in a sense of intentional dedication and meditation as we were prayerfully walking toward this temple, surrounded by pilgrims and all of these devotees dressed in orange shirts and orange scarves and really celebrating this moment of communion with Lord Shiva.
And, you know, I just have to say, Jai Bole, because it was such a powerful day. And this is one of the other names of Shiva that was really being celebrated. And you would walk and just raise your hand, and everyone was greeting everyone. There was no separation from who you were or where you came from. We were the only Western people there. We really did stick out. And there were many, many, many beautiful people who wanted to have their picture taken with us. We were constantly being stopped. And there was an atmosphere of ascension. There was an atmosphere of energy. And many of the wandering sadhus came up to us as if they had been expecting us. And we started having very profound interactions. And the closer we got to the actual temple area, the more profound the energy. And this was something that I really pray we can communicate to you, because there is a magic and a mysticism that is bona fide, that is present, that is tangible. And it was fascinating, because when we finally did get to the area of the temple, we clearly were guided to go behind the temple.
Now, behind the temple is it's a sloped area. Imagine now for a moment that you have this high incline slope coming from the mountaintop all the way down, and that they sort of found a little bit of a plateau area to build the temple. Well, the temple was built around the emanating energy. The energy was there first. This was the mythology and lore talks about how Lord Shiva actually took residence in a rock there that resembles the profile of Mount Kailash, which is the abode of Shiva also. And so this temple was built around this Shivaling, which is the focal point of the energy. Now, as a person who has spent many years traveling sacred sites, there are sacred sites around the world. Some of them are filled with history, some of them filled with mythology and lore, some of them are just simply energy portals. And I must share with you that this frequency and the energy at this site was beyond my expectations. This was beyond anything I had discovered at other places around the world. So that said, when we got to the temple, what we discovered as a group was that there was a powerful energy emanating from behind the temple.
Now, I want to just take a moment and share this. You may or may not be familiar with an Indian epic called the Mahabharata. And many of you may know the Bhagavad Gita. And the Bhagavad Gita is actually a chapter from the Mahabharata. And you may be aware that the Gita, of course, is where Arjuna throws himself down before Lord Krishna and says, "Oh my goodness, I'm getting ready to do battle with my friends, my relatives. How could I possibly do this?" Well, thousands of years ago, he was one of the Pandavas. And when the Pandavas had their triumph over the Kauravas in the Kurukshetra War, they felt very, very guilty. There was a great sense of, oh my God, what have we done? And so after this war, they reached out to Lord Shiva for liberation. And when the Pandavas were asked to seek Shiva's blessings, they knew that if they were able to receive that, it would purge them of any karmic ramifications of what had happened during this war. And so they went on this pilgrimage, and they wound up in Guptakshi, which is where we were at our base camp. And when they found Shiva in Guptakshi, Shiva covered himself in Kedarnath in the form of a buffalo. And he started to go underground. And what happened was that he was to go down when he was spotted by the Pandavas. And he was trying to dive deeply underground, but left behind his hump. And this is what they believe is the Shivalinga. And he left that hump as the what looks like Mount Kailash and became this Shivalinga. And so what happened was that this is a natural rock formation. And this incident, Lord Shiva was pleased with the Pandavas not giving up. The Pandavas were just relentless in trying to find this. And so pleased with that, the Pandavas were absolved, and they were given this darshan and the opportunity to worship this rock, which is this form of Shiva after he had transformed himself into this buffalo and dove down, and then this rock that looks like Mount Kailash, which was actually the hump of this. And so it's a very powerful, powerful place. And this was where the Pandavas had great blessings. Let me just put it that way. It's a place of great blessings. So when Sri and I were guided to bring the group around to the back of the temple, there is another great blessing back there. In 2013, the Kedarnath temple was, or the whole Kedarnath area, that whole plateau, was the recipient, so to speak, of a horrible, truly disastrous slide, or mudslide, as you may want to call it. And this happened very, very quickly. It was very torrential. Basically, a whole part of the mountain came down. And when this happened, a large rock came down and anchored right behind the temple at and it's really quite extraordinary to see how this happened, at the exact spot that basically split the flood or split the torrential landslide. And even though it wiped out the town and many, many people ascended or perished in that moment, however you want to look at their energy, the temple was not harmed at all.
Now, truly, this is a miracle rock, and it's the size of a small truck. And it came down the hillside, stopped a few feet from the temple wall behind it, causing the waters and the slide and the mud and the rocks to part right at the temple. And meanwhile, the entire encampment of locals, of several thousand people, perished and completely cleansed the area.
And what was so extraordinary was, as we were standing there, because we had been clearly guided to walk around the temple and go to this area first, we gazed up into the mountain and we took a picture of this. On that side of the mountain, what was revealed was the Eye of Shiva, which is the three lines with the vertical, you know, with the Eye of Shiva, a beautiful Ganesh, and an archangel. And we all started experiencing Archangel Zadkiel and the power of Ganesh. And how beautiful, because when you walk into any Shiva temple, you always give your blessing to Ganesh first. And that's literally the order that appeared on the mountain, was the angels, and then this Ganesh, and then the Eye of Shiva. And so it was a stark energy, very, very powerful and very profound, emanating it directly into the temple. And we saw this powerful pillar of light coming out of this miracle rock, and were guided to walk up behind this miracle rock. Now, when we walked up behind there, some of the wandering sadhus started shouting out to us, and we were hearing things like we were bringing them good luck for being there, and that we were very good karma, and it was really quite an extraordinary moment. And when we arrived up there, we're not going to spend a lot of the time on the show talking about this, but what we will say, or what I can offer, and Sri can offer more, and all of the beautiful beings that have been with us can share, it was the first time I ever had a spontaneous ensoulment where I was consciously aware that this powerful Lord Shiva energy literally reached into my crown chakra and pulled me out of my body. And the next thing I knew, I was traveling the universe. And Sri can continue from what we've recorded all of this with our group, and we will try to make some type of a YouTube video. All of these attunements and energy started pouring forward.
So this was truly a dramatic moment where the Shakti energy was so profound, and that in Kira's capacity as an archangelic oracle, she found herself out of her body. I was attending to her body while she was delivering, sharing this energetic blessing with our group. Her hands were radiating light. Her eyes were radiating light. There were some mudras. There was gifts of energy. And the key here to understand is that when one is in divine communion, this surrender is done on behalf of everyone. This surrender offers a portal of energy into the world of density, a cosmic energy into the world of form and density, that offers a moment of healing, a moment of blessing, a moment of upliftment that can accelerate one's path. And this was the blessing we humbly received. And it is... It's hard for me to talk about this without looking you in the eyes and saying, beloved ones, there are forces in our world that seek only to love you, uplift you, and heal, and offer healing blessings to you. And it is when the heart is sincere, when the heart is open and trusting, that these benevolent forces can anchor and offer you the gift, the enrichment that we're speaking of. And this brings us to, you know, one of the lessons, one of the learnings of this moment, is that it takes a sincere heart to climb the mountain. And it takes a sincere heart to set aside judgment and dogma and any religious overlays and simply be in the presence of divine flow and energy.
Now, guys, take a breath, because we're sharing this with you because we want you to feel the energy. And I was sharing with the group earlier today that I was so aware of this beautiful cosmic energy. And when you see this, the Shiva Linga that's here at Kedarnath, and I'll talk a little bit more about what happened when we finally got inside the temple, which took a long time because we had to get me back into body. As a matter of fact, so long that what I'll share with you is that, and we're going to talk about it in part two of the show, we got literally stranded in Kedarnath overnight. The weather came in. It got so fierce, so cloudy, so fast, and we'll talk a lot about that, that we got stranded. We couldn't even make it back to base camp and what happened that night. So it was a very powerful, powerful, powerful night. But as we were making our way now toward the entry of the temple, it became this cosmic energy revealed itself to me, and it was the most powerful thing I've ever seen. It first showed itself as five eyes. It had five eyes. So imagine your two eyes where they are right now, the third eye, as you would see on most Shivas, kind of in the vertical, and then two in between. And they were this cosmic blue color, very elongated and very, very crystalline. And this presence had 18 arms, and it was blue, and every arm had the three lines of Shiva on it, and every arm was carrying something different. And I'm going to try and get this illustrated. If any of you listening are an illustrator, I would love you to co-create this with me to show it to the world. And this, and it was not quite a Nitaraj, but it was in this powerful position, and it was really saying, be empowered, be who you are, stand tall in your ascended presence, have no fear, have no fear. And it was so clearly cosmic, it was so otherworldly. This had nothing to do with the way we perceive the world. They were really saying, come travel the cosmos with us. And during this time that I was, I guess I was offering all these energies, and there were people from all over the world, not all over the world, mostly from India, sadhus and other pilgrims coming and all taking part in this darshan that was happening. There was this sense of union, of oneness, of divine ascension energy. And we're sharing this with you because we want you to receive this blessing as well. And in the second half of the show, we're going to talk a whole lot more about what happened when we got stranded at 14,000 feet with no supplies, no nothing overnight, where it was very, very cold, and the mystical energy that happened, and all of those revelations as we also respond to your mini soul reading requests. But we appreciate your indulging us in sharing this energy with you right now, because this energy is profound. We want you to receive it, because it was miracle after miracle after miracle, flow after flow after flow. And to kind of bring this first half of the show, there was a very interesting, profound energy when we got to the entrance of the actual temple. It felt like we had already been in the temple, that the temple was the energy of the miracle rock, the energy of the mountain, the energy of the stones of the temple, that on the outside, which had been protected in this horrible flood, there was this profound, pure, crystalline presence waiting for anyone who wanted to discover it.
Now, this profound crystalline presence that Kira is sharing is like a portal of energy that is unfiltered. So often when we have our sacred moments in the quote-unquote ordinary lives, we have moments that are like separations from the cacophony, moments of bliss or stillness, moments of peace and love and joy. Well, the frequency of the energy that was really surrounding the whole temple, but especially at the miracle rock behind, there was a portal of energy there that was so electric, so tangible, that every person, regardless of whatever mindset that they were carrying up the hill, they moved into that timeless space of divine, I'm struggling for the right word, because it's a blessing, it's an encouragement, it's a cleansing, It is truly the opportunity to set aside worldly distractions and move forward with your soul's journey. And that truly is one of the blessings of being in such a pure sight, is that it assists each and every one of us to take a deep breath and say, I feel it. I feel the joy. I throw my hands up. I say, yeah. I dance and I wiggle and I do whatever is my natural expression of delight. This is not a solemn moment. This is a moment of deep sincerity and divine love that is expressed through ecstatic joy. Feel that, beloved ones. Feel that.
Now, take in a deep breath and really feel that. Because when we come back, we're going to enter the temple. We're going to talk about divine ascension. We're going to talk about freedom. We're going to offer you all of the secrets that were revealed to us so that you can take them into your divine ascension experience. And we're going to weave through that with your mini soul reading requests. So take a breath. Feel the blessings that we are sending to you from way up there at 14,000 feet, Kedarnath. Feel the gift of your divine heart. Feel your cosmic ascended presence and stay with us. We'll be right back.
Welcome to the Self Ascension Classroom, affordable and beautiful home study for your mystical journey. Imagine the gift of studying everything that you've ever wanted at home and on your time. Yes, it is possible, and there is so much to choose from as you dive into your home study experience. Remember that with every moment you spend studying this gift, you ignite your divinity. Imagine the mysteries of the Toheel and the crystalline clarity and radiant abundance of Vesa, a mastery balancing technique and certification process. And then cosmic life regression. Travel the universe and remember. Allow yourself the gift of navigating the inner matrix. This beautiful ascended mastery program of the violet flame will take you to places you may not have dared to dream to go. And then you will rediscover the true gift of your divine nature. Yes, the time is now to study the ancient mysteries, and it's so easy to begin. Discover the Self-Ascension Classroom only at SriAndKira.com. That's SriAndKira.com. Namaste.
Welcome back. We're delighted to be with you and sharing with you our experiences in the Northern India, and especially in this moment, the profound energies and attunements received at the Kedarnath Temple area. Now, where we left off is we were sharing with you that the profound energy from the portal behind the actual physical structure of the temple, as we walked around the temple walls on the outside to come to the formal entrance, in many ways it was like entering the training for of a religious experience, meaning we were greeted by the symbols and the priests, those who were the lineage holders of the traditions. And being greeted by the lineage holders and their processes immediately brought us into both the beauty and the structure of the more dogmatic traditions, meaning there's a certain way you do things in their minds. And we respect and honor that, because truly the journey of any form of religious dogma is to help you along your way. And for us, coming from this profound crystalline energy, moving into the walls of the temple, into the structure of the temple, was kind of symbolic. It was like we were moving from a freedom experience into a structured experience.
You know, that's so true. I love that, Sri. And we had a beautiful priest who had actually been quite moved, because he had been with us the whole time and was offering us some puja, and a beautiful, sincere man who actually witnessed when I went out of body. And it was quite a profound moment for him as well. And now that we were at the entry to the temple, he felt very, okay, this is what I know how to do. This is how I can now be a part of this incredible experience. And so it was really quite beautiful and quite sincere. And And it was a stark contrast, though, because when we entered the temple, needless to say, you know, guys, this is an ancient, ancient, ancient temple. And it was very, very, you know, it's dark inside. It's not like there's windows in there. And it was very, very dark. And it was, there's water on the floor and very mystical and lots of energy and carving. And you always walk into the Shiva temple and there's Nandi, the most beautiful bull you ever want to see. And the Nandi was radiating energy. And we, there's a way that you walk into a temple.
And as we pause to honor Lord Ganesha, the priest was instructing us as to the correct way to offer the paint that is put on the third eye and the various things that one does in the Hindu tradition in order to honor this particular deity. And so we conform to that flow. And then as we move to the next one, there was yet another priest with another idol and another priest with another idol. And we're going, no, wait a minute. We were finding ourselves receiving the unintended structure that was kind of interrupting the flow of the process we were in, and yet was a blessing.
In many ways, it was grounding. You know, it was kind of like bringing me back into my body very quickly. And we were flowing through the temple, and we finally are in the sacred chamber where I must admit, guys, this Shiva Linga, and Shri and I have been blessed to be in many of the Jyotir Lingas. At this point, we've almost hit all 12. We'll be going to Ujjain next week, which is yet another one. And what was amazing was that all the other Jyotir Lingas, there's been we've always been blessed to have amazing experiences. But as I was brought up and around, they took Shri and I away from the group and walked us over to where all the priests were. And there was a beautiful sadhu there just in complete bliss meditation. It was the first time I couldn't actually touch it. They invited me to touch the stone. And about an inch before, I felt so much radiant energy and so humbled and so overwhelmed that all I could do was bow and get about an inch away. And my beloved Sri Ramka was right there and brought in, and he had ghee on his hands and was able to be very, very present with this incredible Shiva Linga.
So one of the rituals at that point is to touch your forehead to the actual stone and to receive that direct contact, which I did. And I must share with all honesty that the stone is radiating a most powerful energy. Now, how each being receives that energy, how they process and integrate that energy is quite unique. This is one of the blessings of our earth walk, is that each and every one of us is on an individuated journey of reunion.
In every single way. And the fact that we were here in July, the month of the journey, the culminating month of that 4x4 energy, is beyond profound. And what was so important to recognize was that we were there in almost a stark contrast to everyone else that was there. As I mentioned, we were very much an oddity. They really couldn't quite, until they started seeing the sincerity and the connection, then it was people seeking our blessings. It was very, very humbling and very powerful. And the energy inside the temple was very dogmatic, very beautiful, but very structured, very, you do this, you do this. A priest does this, you hand him money for this. This is how you do it. This is just our way. And there was a sense of ascended presence and cosmic union that we knew was the reason we were there on that holy Monday, on that specific day, at this specific time. And complete with that area, we began walking out of the temple, and there were so many discernments. And the first one was that as we walked out of the temple, I heard this powerful Shiva that had been working with me say, run. And I looked out at everyone, and I had barely been conscious, and said, run. And the reason being was the weather had shifted dramatically. And bear in mind, guys, we were up there at 14,000 feet. We thought we'd be back for lunch. And it's now about 11:40, right around noon. And we're quite a distance away from the helipad, and we have just all had this mystical experience, and now it's quick, get out of the temple, find your shoes, and run.
No, the run was to get back in the queue to get on the helicopter down the mountain because, beloved ones, it's midday on a summer and it's 40 degrees. And at nighttime, it gets downright chilly there. And when the mist and the clouds came in and we were trying to get back to the helipad, they had closed it because of the weather.
And so we sat there. And there, it's not like you have any place to sit. We all sat out in the mist and the light rain and the cold, and we were all so overwhelmed with energy and the mystical experiences that we sat there for over 3 hours until they finally said, no, we're calling it a day. You're stuck.
Now, to be stuck there means, literally, you're on your own. Now, the good news is there are some tents that the pilgrims can rent. There's some structures and some cots, and there is a modest restaurant there that the local people operate.
I'm laughing. Everything Sri is saying is, you know, guys, we're putting words on things that truly are, he's being gentle. I mean, he's being expressive.
Well, let's just say that the quality of the tents, the beds, the cooking and the rest of it is, it's rustic. All right, it's rustic, and everything that is up there is brought on the back of ponies or donkeys to get up there, and the locals are certainly enjoying the trade with the pilgrims. And so I went and I chatted with the manager of a person that had six tents, tent cabins kind of things, and we arranged for some accommodations for our group. Now, accommodations is a big word. What we got was four walls and a roof and a very hard cot.
Yeah, it was not a bed. It was a very typical tribal type situation. You know, it's like a rolling, it's like a rolled out mat that's put on kind of like a frame. And what was so powerful, my angels, was that we were in the presence of this energy and remember we're at way high altitude, and the rain came and it was powerful.
Oh, it was a deluge.
Oh my gosh. It was powerful. And you know, electricity again is kind of like a remote joke, and it was cold. There's no heat, there's no nothing. We were just grateful we were dry. And so it was an extremely profound moment of presence and inspiration. And it brought us to this recognition of true freedom. And this is why we want to bring in some of your beautiful, beloved soul reading requests, because what we saw was the way to break through, to integrate into true freedom.
Now, freedom is that opportunity to recognize that I am the master, that I am free, and that no matter what's going on in the outer world, there is a sense of calmness, of confidence, of connection in the inner center. And so it reminded me of what we've been sharing for the last several months about the eye of the storm, being in the center, be in your presence, no matter what's going on in the outer world. Well, in our outer world, it was like a very cold, almost freezing rain, deluge and dampness, and nothing was dry. And we had a moment of either freaking out or relaxing in.
Literally. And what we saw was when you let go of dogma, you let go of self-limiting beliefs. When you let go of all expectation, when you let go of that which would seek to keep you bound, even what many would call the religious mind. When you are bound by a tradition, when we walked into the temple, we were taken down from our ascension process. When we were outside with the energy of the Pandavas and the energy of the miracle stone, we were in cosmic bliss. And having literally Lord Shiva, these cosmic beings, said, you have not spent enough time here. You need to integrate here. And we were forced to spend the night there. The 18 of us all went through powerful cleansing processes, and we are still integrating. And we are grateful to be sitting here tonight at the banks of the Ganges, where it's the polar opposite of the weather we were experiencing in Kedarnath, where it's very, very, very hot, and watching the flow of this beloved Ganga and seeing it as the flow of ascension, the flow of the universe, and the freedom to transcend all dogmatic. traditions.
And the freedom, and that includes your own limiting beliefs, regardless of traditions. And so we want to go to the emails, and we're going to read an email that came in from Allison.
Yeah, and you know, Allison's email, we selected it for today's show because it's really something we feel that a lot of you are dealing with. Now, namaste, Allison. I just want to say hi to you, honey, that there's no way I can read your whole email because, I think it's very personal. But I also want to share that I think a lot of people are dealing with this. So here's the essence of Allison's email. She's saying, hi there, I'm in need of support or guidance with my ascension and my twin flame journey. I've come extremely far in my process, and I really felt I had gotten to a place of completion, if there is such a thing. But every time as I feel as I made huge strides, something happens with my counterpart, it triggers me, and then there's betrayal and timelines and processing. I've gotten to the point of giving up. And she talks about everything that's been happening and how she feels she's really being tested, and it's kind of like, you know, two steps forward, five steps back, Groundhog Day kind of experience. And here's what she says at the end. I know that I am part of something important and that there is a mission in place for me, but I have reached a breaking point and wondering why I chose this. I'll be coasting along for a bit and then it dismantles. Any bit of faith you could give me would be tremendous. Well, Allison, first and foremost, thank you so much for sending in this request, because I know that a lot of you listening are saying, yeah, I get that. Whether or not it's with a twin flame experience or whether or not it's with your own experience with the divine, there is this sense of, what am I doing wrong? Or why is this happening? Or I think I'm there and then, oh my gosh, there it is again. So Allison, on a very, very personal note, the first thing I want to share with you, my love, is that every time we believe we are at a place of completion, the universe will say, wonderful, you're ready for more. And in your case, your partner is there to keep poking you, to keep literally saying you're ready for more. And this is why you're having that rub. It's only after you say you can no longer take me from my peace that that will end. And so until you can resolve all of this within yourself and your peace is no longer disturbed by your interaction with your beloved, you're going to keep having this experience with your beloved. Now, from the ascension standpoint, what's most important for you at this moment, they're saying, is get down on your knees, literally or in meditation, and see yourself down on your knees and just say, I am here, I am ready, I am open, guide me, and trust that which is coming through you, and you will discover more on the other side. And Sri, this is why Allison's request is so important, because what she's really saying is, how do I find my freedom?
How do I find my freedom? Well, the first thing is one of the four steps of self-ascension, and it's called surrender. And we may think that we're surrendering, but then when we get to that point of, OMG, I can't take this anymore, now we're at the deeper level of surrender, where the soul can come forward and cleanse the egoic fragments that are keeping one stuck.
You know, just like our experience in Kedarnath, sometimes the real experience is found outside the temple, and that's really what's happening. Is in order to ascend, especially right now, remember guys, we're in this culminating energy of the 4x4 of July, and in order to ascend through that, look for that which is not so obvious. And that's going to bring us to another email in just a second.
And before we go to that email, I want to do a shout out to Theo and just say, hey, thank you for writing. We apologize that we were not able to see you while we were in Dharamshala. We just didn't get the email and get things coordinated, so we trust that you had a blessed of an experience there, as did we, and may we connect in the future.
Yeah, and Theo, we don't know if you actually live in Dharamshala or not, but oh my God, honey, we love you and thank you for your email. Now, Sri, I want to talk about another email because it really ties in with this 4x4 of July and this freedom energy and about how to find the I. And that was something that we kept finding, was this I. Literally, we had the storm coming on Kedarnath, and yet we found this I. We actually were blessed to find shelter from the storm, and we didn't all freeze to death, although a few of us felt we were. There was this moment of, well, maybe we're being cleansed and brought forward. So this is another email we got from Jessica, and it goes like this. Jessica's subject line, wow, July.
Yes, indeed.
Dearest Sri and Kira, thank you so much for being a beacon of light during these amazing times, and since the beginning of the year, every message you have said has resonated in my life, especially the 4x4. Not only that, but in the very middle of the 4x4 4x4 came amazing energies my way that seemed to launch me into clear direction and purpose. I am so thankful. More so, I feel peace in the midst of the chaos in the world, and I live in New York City. Well, right on, Jessica. I mean, really, right on. But alas, my dreams and desires of wanting to move and in terms of career has come to the beginning of manifestation. As if all the focus energy from the beginning of the year are coming back to me, I feel the energy strongly supporting my decisions. I would love a mini soul reading during your time in India. What's next for me? Where should I move to? Thank you so much for all you do and your uplifting messages each week. Much love and namaste, Jessica. Well, Jessica, thank you so much for trusting yourself. And this is why we wanted to bring your email forward for everyone. Your email demonstrates someone who has said yes to trusting. You know, right now, and I love that you live in New York, great city, amazing city, fabulous pizza. And the fact that you are living in that energy and have said yes to trusting and being in the center of your divine process is inspiring and what is catapulting you forward. When I gaze into your energy field right now, your email needed to be read on today's show because they're saying, look outside the traditional center. In other words, it's just what happened to us when we went to Kedarnath. The real ascension process for us was found, quote unquote, outside the temple, where the true temple was. And they're saying that your answers are outside the box. They're outside that which is trying to present itself, and that what's next for you is something that is being revealed and that you are creating it through the trust. You have opened up a portal of ascended presence and to keep walking. Where should you move to? They're giggling and saying, it's funny, south. And that's all they're saying. They're not giving me anything else to share with you. And I'm giggling because I think you already know where I'm talking about. Now, for everyone else, guys, Jessica's email is I am confident, reflecting what a lot of you are already experiencing, that as the journey of July, and here we are, July's closing fast, right? But we're bridging this energy right now that's saying you are able to transit. Now, remember, if you watched our video, our July video, we put another diagram up. Go look at it again, because we're all transiting right now. Did you open up that portal to transit through, or have you been kind of feeling the storm? The key is, regardless of where you're at in the positioning of it, you are walking through it, or you wouldn't be listening to our show. We're rapidly coming toward August, guys. And remember that August is going to come in with this huge lion energy and this huge retrograde, which is going to shake everything up. And we're going to talk a lot more about that in one of our upcoming shows. But for now, the question you need to say to yourself is, am I ready to be free? Am I ready to let go of my bonds that are, or my the things that bind me? Is it dogmatic tradition? Is it expectation? Is it sitting around waiting for something else to happen? Or are you ready to dive freely into the trust and discover the temple that is yours to behold right in front of you?
The first learning around freedom we usually get when we decide we have to get away from something, you know, that it's called freedom from an offensive or an irritating situation. And that's your training wheels, because when we are trying to get away from something, we actually carry it with us to a new expression in the next place. So freedom from is actually a Velcro kind of freedom, but it has a moment of a sense of empowerment when we're able to say no more to that.
Exactly. And I want to quickly bring in one more person in just a second.
And so the next level is what Kira was talking about at the end there, which is the freedom to be, the freedom to express your authenticity. So as we have our freedom from moments, we learn more about what is true for us, not simply what we don't enjoy, but what do we enjoy? Where is our passion? Where is our truth? And then we're free to create, free to live, free to be free.
Well, and talk about being free to be free. I want to quickly read another beautiful email. This one came from Anthea, and it's from England and Ireland is what she says. And I love her little call sign. It's Empowering Angel. And here's her email. Hello, beautiful souls. I would welcome a reading. I have been working with the awe-inspiring cards of clarity, and I am blessed to have them. Thank you, my love. And if those of you don't know what those are, go to selfascension.com and check out the cards of clarity. The way I always describe them is they're freakishly accurate. They always freak me out, too. Here's what she continues to say. I have been labeled an unmasker slash truth serum. After years of challenges, I moved countries to follow callings, and I had through dreams, visions, meditation spanning 20 years. Here I discovered a link to my great-great-great-grandfather who was enslaved. I have symptoms of an injured ankle and wrists. Can you give me further clarity on my purpose of empowering my authentic self and others? My vision is huge, along with love for humanity. I will run workshops of Tell Your Story, doing books and empowering a team of facilitators. Many blessings be yours. You inspire me with your upbeat messages and focus, and I welcome a partnership like yours, amplifiers of love essence. Much love and appreciation, Anthea from England and Ireland. Well, beloved angel of divine love, one thing that I want to share with you immediately is that when you ask for further clarity of your purpose of empowering your authentic self in others and your huge vision, the key is to keep walking. And all of the beings around you keep saying the same thing. Turn it into reality. And the way you turn it into reality is you get concrete steps every day. And they're saying that there are those coming around you that are getting ready to assist you to move it further, but to let go of the name and let go of the game. And they're saying when you let go of the game and you move beyond it, you will see that which is waiting for you with greater clarity, greater support, and greater steps. Everything you're seeing will have its place. It just needs to be massaged in a way that brings greater presence and joy to you, even though you've got a lot of joy right now. And I want to share with all of you listening that the reason we're sharing this information with you is how many of you right now, I was finding her words fascinating. I have been labeled. How many of you have found yourself labeled, whether it's a label you enjoy or a label you don't enjoy? When we let go of even that label, we free ourselves to receive even more. And so for all of you, if you have been labeled with a disease, labeled with an attribute, labeled with anything, try putting that aside. Because when we put all the labels aside, we rip open our heart, we ignite our chakras, and we become the living gift of the yoga of self-ascension, which is the gift of I am here, I am ready, I am open, guide me. And then we ignite our inner trust, take the steps that those guidance bring forward.
And it's so beautiful to wrap around this sharing, because the labels in our lives, whether they're disease or qualities of being, are nothing more than dogmatic limitations. And that as we smile at those and say, okay, I am complete with that label, we are then free to move to the next level of our expression and form. And speaking of next level, beloved ones, this show has come to an end for today.
And it's always so surprising and so quickly. Remember, you can send your mini soul reading request to guest@treeandcureradio.com. And remember, my loves, that the mystical blessings of the universe are right in front of you and most likely where you least expect to find them. Maybe it's time for you to discover what's outside the temple and allow yourself to ascend with ever more grace and beauty. And so, beloved ones, from the banks of the Ganges, as the sun has just begun to set, we send to you love, sincerity, and presence.
And from our hearts to you, we want to say we love you, we trust you, and we look forward to being with you again next week.
Namaste.
Thank you for joining us at Sri and Kira Live. To have your questions answered, send us an email to guest@sriandkiraradio.com and check out more information at sriandkira.com. See you next week. Namaste.